Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
A&M folks are angry about Texas joining the SEC. And I can give you four reasons why. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. I am back in studio. Dan Matthews is back in studio. Dan, where are you?
New Mexico, Taos in Santa Fe.
What are you doing in Mexico? Were you buying crystal meth?
No. This is the
Breaking Bad?
Yeah, it's Breaking Bad. That was another part of New Mexico. This is the really nice part of New Mexico. This is where supposedly Julia Roberts lives.
Oh.
So this is where also, too, when you go into, by the way, too, I call it an airport. It's more of an airfield there at Santa Fe.
An airstrip.
Right. More private jets than there are commercial jets that come in there. So that kind of shows you the ilk of the people that you're dealing with there.
Yeah, okay. I was just at home then the past several days. But welcome back. It's awesome. I said A&M folks, angry about Texas joining the SEC. That's accurate. But why? I can give you four whys. Compare the Texas home schedule in the Big 12 every season versus the home schedule in the SEC any season. Dan, you have homework on the fly. You know all the SEC teams.
All 14, yeah. Well, current 14.
Start naming me, like, try to come up with some unattractive home schedules for the Longhorns as I go through. I don't care who you choose. When I say Big 12 schedule every season, how about the approaching one? Because I'm not going to cherry pick this and try to make it purposely awful because I don't have to. Because here's the truth. Since that OU game is going to be in Dallas forever and ever, amen, it's not possible to cherry pick a nice home slate for the Texas Longhorns. Now, I'm going to spin the wheel and it's going to land on it. We're on in Jackson, Mississippi. Folks in Jackson, Mississippi, they have a little more of an understanding, respect, familiarity with, observations of the Texas program, more so than, for instance, we're on in Jacksonville, Florida. But unless you're in Texas, Longhorn folks will say, well, you don't have proper understanding. So you don't know what those home games mean to us. Yeah, I do. Here is the Big 12 home slate for Texas this season. Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and Kansas State. Okay, well, maybe that's just particularly awful because, by the way, that's particularly awful. And I didn't make it up, folks. I just Googled my computer. How about next season, if it's played? Conference home slate, Baylor, Iowa State, TCU, and West Virginia. What are you selling? Well, I know what you're selling to crazies who love Longhorn football. And so maybe you'll throw them a non-conference bone. That LSU game sold. Do you realize if Texas was given the cachet from the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, brother, pick your own home slate. Now you sell the OU game to Dallas, so you can't gripe about that. Pick your home slate every year. We'll give you the four home games you want. If you did that in the SEC... Now, depending on the program, you don't have, well, we're going to take Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. Well, you can go 0-4 at home, but you'll have some nice gates. So I understand there is a balance. How about, I said, I'm going to let Dan give his schedule. I purposely tried to come up with the worst home slate you could have in the conference. I got Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Kentucky. And it's way better than we believe. Because what we don't get in Jackson or Jacksonville is that that Arkansas game actually is something to Longhorn fans. Playing Arkansas means something to some of their fans. Well, what if it's the year you get A&M on campus? What if it's the year you have A&M on campus and you get a visit from Florida as well as Ole Miss and, I don't know, Tennessee? Are you out of your mind? I just named, all right, you got the A&M game, which is going ping pong every other year. And so you get a year with the Aggies, UF, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. Texas fans, they would be donating plasma so that they could get a few more points on that loyalty scale. Literally any configuration you choose, pods, divisions, line them up 1 through 16, what permanent opponents, I don't care what you do. I'll let you create any SEC home slate you choose, and it'll be better than what Texas puts on at Daryl K. Royal. Truly, any season you want to look at, I will let you cherry pick whatever year the wheel lands on. Anything you can do with the SEC is better. Dan, what do you got?
All right, so put on the spot. I said A&M at home. Throw them a bone there and probably anger A&M even more. Arkansas at home as well. Mississippi State, Florida. And then I threw in a ninth conference game because now finally Nick Saban gets his wish. Auburn at home.
You just included A&M, UF, and Auburn.
So, yes. Yeah, so
and did you put Arkansas in there too?
Arkansas was in there too.
Talk about that a little bit because – like LSU and A&M, I had to educate people when they joined the conference. I was like, folks, these two fan bases really do not like one another. Arkansas, Texas is the exact same thing. It's latent. It's under the radar now, but
it goes back to President Nixon. Yep. It goes back to Frank Broyles. It goes back to Daryl K. Royal. I mean, yeah, because of the neighboring states, well, at least somewhat neighboring, not like Louisiana, New Mexico, or Oklahoma, but still it's neighboring. There is that built-in hatred there. And also, too, the fact that Arkansas, like Oklahoma, has to come into Texas to get their players.
Oh, absolutely true. And that 1969 Arkansas-Texas game, it was referred to as the game of the century, 15-14, Texas wins. Houston Street's daddy was the quarterback there, the baseball pitcher. And it was in Fayetteville, and the big thing was that President Nixon was there, and he wanted to call a play or something. I don't know. He's fancying himself a football guy. But it's a historical game. It was one versus two, and Texas won, and then they went on to win the national championship. And so even in the schedule that Dan gave, I was like, folks, we don't get our – you know what it would be like? I want to – like a real good example of this. Now, you would have to go back, actually, a few decades. This is not going to be a great example. Like, Tulane, if they were to ever – Dan, what's the weirdness with Tulane and LSU? Like, LSU will have no time for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a – it's no win for LSU to play them. It's only a loss.
And we can shine a light on an in-state program, and maybe they get a recruit.
Right, and there is the state legislation that says that LSU is required to play in-state schools. It's just they conveniently leave out Tulane.
McNeese. Northwestern, exactly. What about Tulane? Nah, we're good. We already booked. We're good, man. We're full. We're playing the Texters. So you get these sort of rivalries that go back. I mean, like LSU Tulane. I'm not trying to be a wiseacre, and part of it is because I like really get into the history of it. But if you go back to like the 40s, there's some great battles. It's a historical. You don't have to go back that far for Texas and Arkansas. No matter what schedule you come up with, it's 15 times better. Like, if you try to purposely get the most underwhelming Southeastern Conference home slate possible, it's better than if you cherry pick 1, 2, 3, and 4 most attractive visitors in the Big 12. That is going to be the most immediately obvious benefit once Texas joins the conference. Oklahoma, by the way, is the same sort of thing, but I'll give Oklahoma credit. They seem to have been bringing in – but now, I could look on the schedule, and maybe I'm wrong about this because I know Texas brought in LSU, but as far as on campus, And they had Notre Dame. Didn't they have Notre Dame on that Sunday night about 5-6 years ago? And they brought in Ohio State at one point. So they've done an okay job with that. I think Oklahoma's actually done a better job getting bigger teams on campus there. But they understand that they have to. If they don't, they got nothing to sell in the SEC. Hey, you going to bring Ohio State onto campus? No, we're good playing Alabama, LSU, Auburn, and A&M at home this year. We're good. The most immediately obvious reasons, there's four of them.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I was told this early on that this was the first step, and then down the road, essentially the SEC would you know, be taking its steps to break away from the NCAA and be its own entity, which would lend credence to what you just said, adding even more teams, getting to 20, 24, and so forth, which I think would be nuts.
Prince Larneman, Houston Chronicle, He broke the activity that had been going on for about a year. This was last Wednesday, and we had him on the program yesterday, and he was going through, and he said, I just happened to notice this kind of thing you do when there are no games or practices or hirings or firings for the most part. You look for historical context. You look for previews. You either go back or you go forward because there's nothing happening today. He was like, well, I decided to go back. And, hey, it's been about a decade. So he's having a conversation with a guy. Yeah, I was in that meeting 10 years ago. And, I heard about that but wasn't there, but it happened. Oh, yeah, and you got that fact right. Yeah, oh, that's 10 years ago. Oh, by the way, you know that's going on right now too, right? You talk about having sources. I tell you, I got men everywhere. I don't have enough women, but I got men everywhere. I'd like to have more women, but I just it's not really the landscape, not enough. But when you got a source like that, best I ever had was Mike's Live. Dan, did I ever tell you the story about the initial BCS rankings? Mike's Live handed them to me 5 hours before they were released to the media.
That had embargo
it said
until
embargo
released?
Embargo across the top of it. I was hosting the Touchdown Club of Atlanta, and Slive was the guest speaker. So I'm there to, like, MC and whatever. So I introduce him. So he speaks, he sits down, he's like, oh, and it was always on a Monday. This goes back to, like, I don't know, 2005 or 6 or whatever it was. When they revamped after the Auburn thing in 04, they had revamped the math somehow. And it was, we're going to release the BCS rankings every Monday at 4 or 5 or whatever. Well, he sat down for lunch. He's like, hey, you want this? I opened it up, and it was his personal copy of the BCS rankings to be released later that day. And it was the initial rankings for the year. And so I got a little bit of a scoop that day. And I was like, do I have to keep this? He's like, So just keep my name out of it. It's like, sure thing, commish. But Brenz Warneman, again, he was just having a background research. Hey, do you remember we talked? Like, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah. And then a week ago, I had a similar conversation. What? And down the rabbit hole he goes. So I appreciate Brent Zorneman making some time. What's up, Dan?
It's funny, too, where speaking of commissioners, I've brought this up before, that good news, college football fans, you got a college football commissioner. His name is Greg Sankey, and he just took another step to getting to that point. And what we just heard from Brent Zorneman right there, tells you that he's trying to make that step even further down the road when possibly, and maybe even now, as he pointed to, likely that we're going to see more teams coming their way. And then you've got 20, 24 teams, and you've got a Super League for you where you've basically got college football's version of the NFL. We've heard that all since last week, too. There's basically going to be an NFC and an AFC, and then they'll play for it going forward. And people can say it's greedy. They can say all these different types of things. I say to those people exactly what Jimbo said to Texas and Oklahoma last week. Be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. For years, people were saying, oh, we need a college football commissioner. This sport is just too big, too much money, all these different types of things. Now you finally got it, and it's pretty much, Chuck, the old saying, it's not so fun when the rabbit has the gun, because now, guess what? It's not your terms that are going to be dictated. It's the person who has now been appointed the commissioner of college football who's now going to make those decisions and make indeed what is going to benefit them the most, as usually people in power this just in do. So the fact that now we are building towards this super conference, whatever you want to call it, where maybe you do have Ohio State and Michigan come over, maybe you do have North Carolina and Duke, I don't know. But the names in college sports that are going to be joining this, absolutely you should, because it's one of those things, just because you should doesn't mean you need to. In this case, just because you can, indeed, go for it and do it. At least, if nothing else, go for it and try. Because people can try to say all the time, oh, hey, it's greedy. Oh, hey, what about the little guys? Deep down, you don't care about the little guys. You just want to sound like you're nice. You want to sound like you're worldly and that you're somebody that cares about the little guy. But really, when it comes down to it, on Saturdays and whatever day the championship games are played, you want to see the names there and you want to see the moneymakers there.
Yeah, you know, when Paul Castellano's laying on the sidewalk outside the steakhouse, everybody sees the power play that just got made. It's obvious. Greg Sankey, I'll give him so much credit, man. I brought this up yesterday. He sat shoulder to shoulder with Bob Bowlesby. How many times working on this playoff proposal? How often? Sitting right next to the dude. All the while, he's about to render your entire conference useless. And when I say useless, I'm talking about other programs starting to scurry off the ship. The ultimate scenario for Texas and OU is they announce they're leaving. It causes so many other programs to leave as well that there's not a conference left to pay the exit fee to. That, I'm telling you, the Big 12, it's in name only right now. I've got the ultimate, you know what the ultimate boss move for a program like Texas Tech is? Leave now. Get into Conference USA ahead of the 12-team playoff. Dominate Conference USA and say, you got 12 spots. One of them's going to CUSA. We'll take it. Imagine Texas A&M or, I don't know, Baylor, somebody rolling into Conference USA. Undefeated every single year. Going to lose in the first round of the playoffs most often. When Marshall, do you remember Marshall was like 10-0 a few years ago? And I think it was Jeff Long or somebody opened. He was like, yeah, we looked at their schedule. Doesn't matter. It'll be different with Texas Tech. That was just a few years ago, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was not only that, but, you know, it's also, too, when you get the reports out there that Bob Bowlesby was going to roll over and play nice for Texas and OU so much that he was going to give them more
share
and give everybody else less.
Share and a half of TV.
And that's one of those things now that I think if you're anybody in that conference that's got influence, which Baylor does have some influence, then you need to exercise that, like you said, and be able to move on. The other part of this as well is it's not Bob Bowlesby necessarily that this move was being aimed at, Chuck. I think it was being aimed at Kevin Warren for last year, sitting around saying, hey, we're all going to wait. We're all going to make a decision. He jumped and made the decision. I think that stuck with Greg Sankey, and I think this is now part of that move to say, oh, you think you're in charge.
Yeah, there are so many programs in the Big 12 right now that they are already putting in motion their plans, and I think they all realize that they're paying attention. Those plans don't include staying in the Big 12.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Tuesdays on the Chuck Oliver Show means you're going to hear from Dave Bartu. He is CFB Matrix. He uses past results to predict future results, potentially, based on all the information he has, whether it's coaches, players, ADs, you name it, folks in the college football world. He can tell you how it possibly will turn out if you're looking to hire somebody. I want to welcome him on now. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you, man?
Or conference commissioners looking to redo a balanced schedule for a completely realigned conference, you know, things like that.
Do tell.
Actually, that's one of the things I was working on right now. It was just because I've been watching all this talk about, you know, 16 teams, four teams, four pods, this, that, and the other, and it's like, okay, so how do we try to balance a fair competition in scheduling? Now, obviously, depending on your point of view, you know, you want your best teams with the easiest possible schedule, so you lean everything towards your best teams. But in the effort of fairness, I was trying to break down the best way to put the pods together, but then I was also doing research on each team about when to schedule it so you maximize the opportunity of top 25 teams facing each other, because as we know, a lot of teams get, you know, have a propensity to get in the top 25 early and aren't there in November and vice versa. So how do you put the pod schedule together and then ultimately the actual schedule together so that you can utilize those 16 teams to maximize your top 25 matchups? So it's kind of a fun little exercise I'm working on.
It is Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix. CFB Matrix, that is his company, his deal. It's what he does with numbers, consultant to coaches, ADs, football ops folks, board of regents, players, agents recently. So let's talk about the seismic shift in college football over the past week. And there are still, you know, crossing and dotting to do, certainly.
Yeah.
But when you started hearing this news, I'm sure that your mind went a lot of other places. Like, fans were thinking, who will we play and when will it start? What were your thoughts initially from the business standpoint, from the College Football Matrix standpoint?
From a business standpoint, everybody I talk, like the radio shows, this is great. This is gold, right? I mean, now all the Oklahoma and Texas fans are going to be listening to the Chuck Oliver Show. They weren't interested in it yesterday.
I'm crossing fingers and toes, man.
Right? You know, so everybody that has a vested business interest, not game outcome, because you don't care who wins or loses. Nobody cares who wins or loses when you have a business interest. You just want the games played. You want the biggest brands being talked about on the show. So from a media standpoint, business standpoint, everybody's happy. Everybody is ecstatic because they are counting dollars. Everybody's happy with that. So from the business side, I get it. SEC side, yeah, I get it. Now, you know, you're huge. You know, you have, what, 12 of the top 20 recruiters in the country now on the payroll. So that was I guess that was the one of the first reactions. I've had a bunch of them, I guess, in my gut. But the other one, I was like, why would the Kentucky, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri in the world want this? You know, I get it.
Okay, Eli Drinkwitz. I was just going to say, Eli Drinkwitz probably doesn't, but his athletic director probably does, and the school president and whoever's in budgets and whatever. I mean, that they're going to vote yes because of the money.
I understand. But on the flip side, is that money, well, I guess the money's going to outweigh everything. But if it goes to, let's say, if they go to nine conference games, you lose a basically an automatic win non-conference game, and you add a 70%+ odds loss. So you're talking about a 1.5 to 2 game swing in a 12 game schedule per year for those teams. So that's cool. You're cashing huge checks, and you're bottom of the bucket recruiter that every once in a while could pop a great season, just had a massive hit to the odds on that. I know the SEC is tough to begin with, but going to nine and adding these two, somebody's got to finish in last bad. And cool, you're cashing checks, but you know, 3-9, 2-10. 1-11, 4-8, that's going to get real old real fast.
Yeah, and depending on the school you're at, it can cost the AD. In general, you have a lot more football coaches than you do athletic directors. And depending on the school, you can even survive mediocre. Like Missouri, the AD can survive mediocre. Kansas, you can survive awful football. Who cares? I just think that this is the easy check. It's like when NFL expansion comes up. Hey, do you approve this? You get $80 million each if you say yeah, yes. I say yes. Let's expand. Let's add a team. Continuing with Dave Bartu. And when I said, you know, I was introducing you and saying all the folks that you, you know, deal with, one of those is, I said, Board of Regents. And you said that you'd even gotten a call from maybe a trustee or someone afterwards. What do you think is their end of this? Because those are people who are, quote, fans, graduates, alum, but they're with a business interest in the athletic department, et cetera. I mean, these people who vote on things.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to be in those chairs to really figure it out. You know, is it all about the money? You know, because the money is also great because it's going to be able to go to other sports. You know, how much better is Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma – non-football sports going to be now with an extra $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million a year.
Okay. You know, that's the next step, because this is also an area in which I believe you would be useful, because you can evaluate how and where you have been spending your money and what those dollars have been equaling. Drop $20 million on the folks who are already reckless or don't spend it in the proper way. Then it's just more unreturned value. Do you do drill downs with whoever, coaches, athletic departments, whomever, on the most efficient way to use this manna from heaven?
Not yet, you know, because you got you hopefully have a newly renegotiated SEC contract with Texas, Oklahoma.
No, I'm saying is this something that you've done before? Like, here is the best way to spend your money. I tell you the best players to recruit, et cetera. But do you break it down to that level? Like, if this is your recruiting budget, here is where you're getting the best return on it. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, I've done that from a recruiting level on the football level, not as a whole athletic department. The only thing I've done outside of football for an athletic department is creating modeling for more efficient fundraising, how to spend your money in the right places, getting a bang for your buck. But that's no different than what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I just need information. You know, we just need to be able to ask the question. So, you know, whether it's, Dave, I want to improve my fundraising, cool. What kind of data do you have? How can we review that data? Are we asking the right questions, you know, going forward? So the same thing could be, okay, I have a windfall of X amount of money, and here's where all my programs are. Here's what everybody needs. What's the best way to spend this money to get a return on it? That can be done if the data is there. So I have not done that for an athletic department yet, but things change around here on a daily basis, it feels like.
If someone called. Well, let me ask you, last thing before, and then we'll break and come back and actually talk coaches and such. Vanderbilt, for instance, their new AD, she gets her hands on these big fat checks and just, all right, we're going to spend now. I still don't see Vanderbilt having much of a breakthrough because they're getting an extra $8 million, $10 million, $12 million, whatever, but so is each one of the other 15 teams in the SEC. So Vanderbilt would then potentially have an advantage over a team outside the Southeastern Conference. I just don't see it holding with a program like Vanderbilt. Just use them as an example.
Maybe they just don't care. Okay, let's say you're the AD of Vanderbilt and you go, are we ever going to win at football? No, not really. Okay, but are we getting the same check every year? Yeah. Okay, so why, instead of putting that money into a football team to finish 3-9, why don't we just make baseball better? Why don't we be good at everything else and just understand that football we're going to be not good at? Maybe every once in a while we'll hit bowl eligibility, maybe a top 25 once every 50 years. But let's parlay all that money and to be really good at everything else and just let football bring us the cash cow and not care if they win or lose. That might be one way to approach it.
You know, I used to play fantasy baseball, and I would say all the players who let you do well in home runs cost too much. So I'll just max out saves and steals because they're cheap. It's like saying, football is too expensive. Let's max out baseball and volleyball and swimming and diving.
You know, I mean, it just depends on where you want to allocate that money, because we both know somebody's got to finish in last almost, yep, you know, every year. And the best bet going forward is always going to be Vanderbilt indefinitely.
Yep.
The story is going to get worse.
The story in the SEC West, I think it was just 2 years ago, was whoever finishes last is going to be paying their coach $4.5 million to finish last. Because that was the lowest paid coach in the East. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, jump into more of the traditional topics with Dave Bartu, coaching, movements, et cetera. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. It's a Tuesday, which means it's a Bartu day. I want to welcome back on again. He is College Football Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, you are not only, you got a sponsor, which is good for you, but you're actually helping folks. Talk about him.
Just launched it. In conjunction with the Football Greats Alliance and the Pro Football Retired Players Association, they've been looking for a partner for 3 years now to benefit the retired players. And so we just launched, actually a couple weeks ago, the Pro Athletes Hemp Association at hempforpros.com, and working with them, just trying to create the strongest natural hemp products available out there. So hempforpros.com, super excited to be part of it and helping create and support retired NFL player programs.
There you go. Dave Bartu, doing good every Tuesday for a half hour here and then again around the clock. And again, if you want any more information about this or anything, it's CFB Matrix. That's on Twitter. And then Dave will even give you his phone number. Dave, Blake Anderson, how long until he's in Power 5, if you believe that's down the road for him?
has that ship sailed?
I'm wondering about that.
I think, you know, something that's an interesting question. That is a legitimate one, because you would have expected at Arkansas State for the promotion to come. And correct me if I'm wrong, in your mind, I think Utah State's a demotion. I think you went backward.
Absolutely, because you don't – the facilities, you probably never been to Jonesboro. It's a real program with real facilities, and the thing is, you're in the South. You got players to recruit. You can take the awful from LSU, the three-star who was committed, and then they yanked his offer, and you can get that at Arkansas State.
Yeah, so I just it's kind of like – so Coach X is at Arkansas State – doesn't keep his job and takes a lower head coach position in a tougher place to win. That doesn't smell like Power 5 future to me at all. Now, Utah State has turned out its share of Power 5 head coaches. So there's something about that program. Utah State is kind of a little bit West Coast Appalachian State, mm-hmm. Just without the talent. But they always seem to have the culture in place to perform above the talent that they recruit. So I think it's a good opportunity. But I would say him taking that step back, not getting promoted from Arkansas State. And look, we put his name on a bunch of search committee top 20s. Never really been a top three, top five kind of guy for a Power 5 job. So if I had to bet, if I could walk up to the sports book right now and if it was bet him to be a Power 5 head coach or not, I would certainly fade that expectation. A
couple more minutes with Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix. Last week in Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days, I'll paraphrase, but it's pretty dang close. Clark Lee, you were coaching so well, had, such a great reputation. You were going to get other offers. Why'd you take this job? All right. Well, I think I know why, because it's easier to hire a defensive-minded head coach right now because they're not in vogue. Kane Womack, et cetera. Talk about some of these programs, whether it's an SEC school, Conference USA, Sun Belt, whomever. It is easier right now as a head coach if you're looking for a head coach, to hire the defensive guy than it is the hot, young, offensive-minded guy.
Well, and the hot, young, offensive-minded guy with limited experience is a bigger risk as well. So I don't really care who you hire as the head coach. They need, in my opinion, they need to have a high-quality offense or defensive past. Okay? The real question is, did they hire a good complement as their opposing coordinator? Okay, so with Clark Lee, really good track record as a defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, albeit for a short period of time. My immediate question would be, who's his offensive coordinator? Is he going to be any good? So I don't fall for the whole, if you're going to be a head coach, you need to be an offensive coordinator. No, you need to be a damn good play caller, number one. That's where it starts. If you're going to go no head coach experience, then at least get a guy that is top 20 percentile in X's and O's on the offense or defensive side of the ball. But, your question about Vanderbilt, I mean, Vanderbilt alumni, and obviously with Derek Mason, you have a really, 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 really long leash to not perform even at a 500 level there. So on the side of cashing checks, it's a pretty good gig.
Last week, I had a lot of conversation with folks on air, off air, whatever. Whenever it was Ole Miss or even like Mississippi State or even the SEC West, I wouldn't go 5 minutes. Somebody would mention, I would say Lane Kiffin. Jeff Lebby, you got to include him there. Give your opinion of Jeff Lebby. And I know that, the boss is the boss in Oxford. Lane proved that when he fired the O-line coach a couple months ago. But just talk about Jeff Lebby and what you may tell an AD who is, or maybe a head coach looking for a new OC when he gets tired of Lane. Just give us a flyover.
I guess I don't know how much play calling Jeff has done. At Ole Miss, my understanding, it's all Lane.
Yeah.
Now he can pick Jeff's brain because Jeff has Art Briles, you know, on speed dial at any second to pick his brain. So, which obviously, at least from a football standpoint, Baylor's offense, you know, speaks for itself. So, I don't know how much play calling Jeff has done, whether it was at
UCF. Yeah.
Yeah, at UCF or at Ole Miss. I think it may just be a nice encyclopedia of offensive plays and theories that the real play caller has access to. So with Jeff, I think that's the biggest question mark is which season were you calling plays? Now, if he says, okay, I've been calling plays in season X, Y, Z, okay, let's take a look at him. Because everywhere he's been, the offensive scoring efficiency is very, very good. Okay, Ole Miss was really good last year. UCF years were extraordinarily good as well. So if he was given credit for calling those plays in those seasons, then absolutely, you're talking top 20th percentile of college football in terms of scoring efficiency. So I'm just going to go with he wasn't calling the plays, so I think it's a real big question mark in terms of him doing that in the future.
Last thing for you, and we got a couple of minutes here. Bill O'Brien, Doug Marrone, the only reason they're in Tuscaloosa is, well, you can get a nice paycheck, you can probably get some hardware, because that's where you go to then get back into the head coaching realm again. Who gets the first call? Well, like what? Extrapolate this out a little bit. Tell us how this goes for either O'Brien or Marrone.
I don't know about O'Brien because I didn't think he did that well at Penn State. And obviously in the NFL, he got released from his job there. Now, Doug Marrone, now this is the same Doug Marrone that was at Syracuse, right?
Yep.
Really underrated in his years at Syracuse. Did a phenomenal job at Syracuse. That's what got him into the NFL. If I'm going to bet on one of these two guys to be a head coach first, actually, if I was an AD and you said, okay, Dave, you're hiring Bill O'Brien or Doug Marrone, I'm hiring Doug Marrone every single time. Every single time. I don't even need to interview him.
He won at Syracuse, man. He won enough at Syracuse.
Right? Do we need to even say any more? He won at Syracuse. He won at Vanderbilt. He won at Illinois, you know, so.
There are times that just carries the day. You ain't got to say anything else.
In my opinion, you don't. And it was for several years that the numbers were good. So as far as the numbers go, in terms of telling a story about a head coach's past, the guy I am going to bet on to be out of Alabama first. And if they both go, the guy I bet on to be most successful as a head coach again is going to be Doug Marrone. Not even a question in my mind.
He won at, exactly. You know, it always made me wonder, like, people at Kansas, I talked to them afterwards, and they're like, you don't understand how hard it was to get along with Mark Mangino. And I'm like, he must have been a terror walking down the halls of the athletic department if you fired him because he took Kansas to an Orange Bowl. Dave, always love your visits, man. We will do it again in 7 days.
Peace, brother. Looking forward to it already.
All right. Dave Bartu, please follow this man on Twitter, at CFB Matrix. Yeah, I talked to folks. It was after the fact when Kansas went back to being Kansas. It's like, now, what was the reason again? And I had heard that he'd, you know, get in your face and he'd yell so loud he'd spit at you and all that. But I was like, he must have been, like, he would have been on a box of Wheaties as an unpleasant person because he took you to the Orange Bowl.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.